Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. The Trump administration has started requiring parents looking to reunite with their children who crossed into the U.S. alone to show up for interviews. This is according to a policy memo obtained by the Associated Press. Legal advocacy groups say this has led to the arrest of some parents while their children remain in U.S. custody. The Office of Refugee Resettlement says the goal is to ensure sponsors, who are usually a parent or guardian, are properly vetted. And AP correspondent Jennifer King reports on the approaching federal trial for the alleged golf course assassin accused of attempting to kill President Trump last year.
In Fort Pierce, Florida, trial preparations are underway for Ryan Ruth, the man charged with trying to assassinate President Trump on the golf course at Trump's West Palm Beach Country Club last year. Ruth has pleaded not guilty to charges of attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate, assaulting a federal officer, and several firearm violations. He faces additional state charges. Judge Aileen Cannon signed off on Ruth's request to represent himself at a pretrial conference, but said that court-appointed attorneys need to remain as standby counsel. Prosecutors say Ruth plotted to kill Trump for weeks before he was spotted by a Secret Service agent aiming a rifle through the golf course shrubbery. The agent opened fire, Ruth dropped his weapon without firing and fled and was arrested not far away. In the early days of the war in Ukraine, he claims to have tried to volunteer to fight and recruit foreign soldiers, leaving messages that one Ukrainian military official described to CNN as delusional. Witnesses tell the Associated Press Ruth was a self-styled mercenary leader with plans to insert himself into conflicts around the world. I'm Jennifer King.
Chinese leader Xi Jinping welcomed Russian President Vladimir Putin as an old friend as the two held a series of meetings today. After the talks, China announced it would begin offering 30-day visa-free access to Russian travelers starting later this month. This comes a day after both attended the annual summit of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. This is AP News. AP correspondent Charles Deledesma reports a landslide has obliterated a village in Sudan.
The landslide wiped out a village in Sudan's Darfur region, killing an estimated 1,000 people. A rebel group controlling the area reported the disaster late Monday. The tragedy occurred on Sunday in the Tarasin village in central Darfur's Mara Mountains after days of heavy rainfall. The Sudan Liberation Movement Army states that initial information indicates the death of all village residents, with only one survivor. A spokesman says the village was completely leveled and the group's appealing to the UN and international aid groups to help recover bodies. I'm Charles Deledesma.
And a Taliban spokesman in Afghanistan says the death toll has surpassed 1,400 people after a 6.0 magnitude earthquake hit the eastern part of the country Sunday night. Rescue teams continue looking for survivors. An additional 3,000 are injured. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
Colombia, Panama, and Costa Rica report more than 14,000 migrants who had been heading for the U.S. have reversed course and headed south since President Trump took office. This reverse flow attributed to stricter U.S. border policies. Migration through the treacherous Darien Gap on the Colombia-Panama border peaked in 2023 when more than 500,000 migrants crossed. It slowed somewhat in 2024, but almost completely dried up early this year. Largely made up of Venezuelans fleeing their country's economic, social, and political crises, some 97% said they were returning because they could no longer legally reach the U.S., with immigration policy no longer open to asylum seekers. Most who turned around said they planned to return to Venezuela. I'm Ben Thomas.
President Trump says he's awarding former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That announcement comes after Giuliani, Trump's political ally, was badly injured in a traffic accident. Giuliani is recovering from a fractured vertebra and other injuries following a car crash in New Hampshire where he was a passenger. On social media, Trump called Giuliani the greatest mayor in the history of New York City and an equally great American patriot. The former mayor was heralded for his leadership following the September 11 attacks, but has sometimes drawn controversy for his defense of President Trump. Giuliani was disbarred as an attorney in New York and Washington after he was found to have repeatedly made false statements over Trump's 2020 election loss. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
Rudy Giuliani is recovering from a cracked spine and other injuries after a car crash on Interstate 93 in New Hampshire Saturday night. On X, he thanked a nurse practitioner, Maria Ryan, for overseeing his care. New Hampshire State Police say Giuliani spokesman Ted Goodman was driving a rented Ford Bronco when it was struck from behind by a Honda HR-V driven by a 19-year-old woman. The former New York mayor's head of security released a statement saying the 81-year-old was taken to a nearby trauma center for treatment of a fractured vertebrae, multiple lacerations, and injuries to his left arm and lower leg. Not long before the accident, local outlets spotted Giuliani attending a minor league Fisher Cats game in Manchester, New Hampshire. State police say they are investigating the crash. President Trump is promising another round of tariffs on a category that's been spared so far, pharmaceuticals.
We want pharmaceuticals made in our country.
His trade deal with Europe includes a 15% drug tariff, and now the president is talking about duties of 200% for other countries to bring back manufacturing and secure supply chains. Last year, the U.S. trade deficit for pharmaceutical products was nearly $150 billion. Many drug makers have moved production overseas to take advantage of lower costs or tax breaks. Derek Stodick with ING says lower-income households and seniors would feel the greatest impact, but Marta Wosinka, a health policy analyst at the Brookings Institution, says there's a role for tariffs in securing U.S. medical supplies, noting the Biden administration taxed foreign syringes when cheap Chinese imports threatened to drive U.S. producers out of business. President Trump says he'll delay drug tariffs for a year to 18 months to give companies a chance to stockpile and move factories to the United States. Jennifer King, Washington.
A judge at least temporarily blocking the government from deporting a group of Guatemalan children who had crossed the border without their families. Attorneys for the 10 minors, ages 10 to 17, said there were reports that planes were set to take off within hours for the Central American country, but a federal judge in Washington said those children could not be deported for at least 14 days. And after a hearing Sunday, she enforced that they needed to be taken off the planes while the legal process plays out. Government lawyers maintain the children were not being deported, but rather reunited at the request of their parents or guardians, a claim the children's lawyers dispute, at least in some cases. I'm Julie Walker.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem has confirmed that the Trump administration will soon expand immigration operations in Chicago, the nation's third largest city, as President Donald Trump lashed out, warning Chicago's Democratic leadership to straighten out Chicago's crime problem quickly or, quote, we're coming.
We have received credible reports that we have days, not weeks.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson.
We do not want to see tanks in our streets. We do not want to see families ripped apart. We do not want grandmothers thrown into the back of unmarked vans.
Chicago's mayor signed an order.
This sweeping executive order directs our Department of Law to pursue any and every legal mechanism to hold this administration accountable for violating the rights of Chicagoans. This order affirms that the Chicago Police Department will not collaborate with military personnel on police patrols or civil immigration enforcement.
As Congress returns to Washington this week, Republicans will have to find a way to work with Democrats or around them on a variety of legislative priorities, along with conversations amongst Senate Republicans on changing the chamber's rules to thwart Democratic stalling tactics on Trump's nominations. The Senate is also debating whether to move forward on legislation that would slap steep tariffs on some of Russia's trading partners to pressure Russian President Vladimir Putin on Ukraine. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will appear before the Senate Finance Committee to discuss his health care agenda on Thursday, less than a week after he ousted the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, triggering top-level resignations. The most urgent task for Congress is to avoid a government shutdown on September 30th when federal funding runs out. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
An unknown number of Chinese students are being sent back to China after arriving in the U.S., drawing protests from Beijing and showing the uncertainty from President Trump's shifting policies. In Houston, 22-year-old Chinese philosophy student Gu, who did not want his full name out there for fear of reprisals, was deported after landing in the U.S. to study at the University of Houston. Despite having all the necessary paperwork, he was interrogated for 36 hours, then put on a plane back to China with a five-year entry ban. The U.S. government has grown suspicious of Chinese students, fearing they might have ties to the government. However, President Trump said he would welcome 600,000 Chinese students, partly to help keep some U.S. schools afloat. I'm Julie Walker.
Hurricane Kiko has formed in the eastern Pacific. The storm is more than 1,800 miles east of Hawaii, but moving slowly westward, packing winds of 75 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center forecasts that Kiko will strengthen over the next few days, but poses no immediate threat to land. Meteorologists are also keeping an eye on a system dubbed Tropical Depression 12E, with a high probability of becoming a tropical storm headed toward southwestern Mexico and Baja California Sur. And in the Atlantic, a disturbance near the Cabo Verde Islands headed west-northwest has a 60% chance of organizing into a tropical depression within a week. I'm Jennifer King.
Pope Leo XIV has met with one of the most prominent advocates for greater LGBTQ plus inclusion in the Catholic Church and encouraged him to continue his ministry, sending a strong signal of welcome. News of the audience was met with consternation amongst some conservatives who had criticized Pope Francis's outreach and had hoped that Pope Leo would be less accepting. Leo's position on LGBTQ plus Catholics had been something of a question after remarks surfaced from 2012 in which the then future Pope criticized the, quote, homosexual lifestyle. The meeting with Reverend James Martin lasted about half an hour and was officially announced by the Vatican in a sign that Leo wanted it made public. Reverend Martin described the meeting as positive and encouraging. The meeting was held just days before LGBTQ plus Catholics participate in a Holy Year pilgrimage to the Vatican in another sign of welcome. During Sunday Mass at the Vatican, Pope Leo XIV prayed publicly for the victims of a shooting during a Catholic school mass in the United States last week.
Our prayers for the victims of the tragic shooting during a school mass in the American state of Minnesota. We include in our prayers the countless children killed and injured every day around the world. Let us plead God to stop the pandemic of arms, large and small, which infects our world.
Two children were killed, 20 people were injured during the shooting attack at the Church of Annunciation in Minneapolis as hundreds of students gathered for Mass. The shooter fired 116 rifle rounds through the church's stained glass windows. The shooter later died by suicide. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Pershing County Sheriff Jerry Allen says they're investigating a possible homicide at the Burning Man Festival in Nevada. In a statement, Allen says a festival goer flagged down one of their deputies Saturday night to tell them about a male subject lying in a pool of blood, just as the Desert Gathering's main wooden effigy was starting to burn. Officers found a white man laying on the ground, obviously deceased. Deputies, rangers with the Bureau of Land Management, and the Burning Man Project Black Rock Rangers helped create a perimeter as law enforcement combed the scene and interviewed festival goers. In a statement, the Burning Man Project said it is cooperating and that the safety and well-being of their community are paramount. The festival ends Monday, and the sheriff said their investigation is complicated because the temporary city in the Black Rock Desert will be gone by the middle of the week.
It's simple. Am I going to hurt him before he hurts me?
Dwayne Johnson's generating Oscar buzz at the Venice Film Festival for his serious role as UFC fighter Mark Kerr in The Smashing Machine.
It's not about the wins and the losses. It's certainly about the pressure to win and the pressure to deliver and what happens when you don't deliver.
The biographic film, directed by Benny Softee, follows the wrestler turned mixed martial arts champion, his struggles with painkillers and narcotic abuse, and his tumultuous relationships. Johnson, best known for his big-budget action movies and comedies, says he felt like he had more to give.
There was just voice inside of me, the little voice that, well, what if I could do more and I want to do more and what does that look like?
At a festival panel, the actor thanked Jungle Cruise co-star Emily Blunt, who plays his girlfriend Dawn Staples in the film coming out in North America on October 3rd.
You know, she really encouraged and believed in me.
I'm Jennifer King.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Bill Belichick's college football coaching debut left much to be desired.
Obviously, we have a lot of work to do.
The six-time Super Bowl winners, North Carolina Tar Heels, were defeated 48-14 by TCU on Monday night.
They just outplayed us. They outcoached us. I mean, they were just better than we were tonight.
The 48 points were the most ever allowed by a Belichick coach team.
Just wasn't up to what it needs to be, and I know we're a lot better than that.
The game at Keenan Memorial Stadium featured a number of famous UNC alumni, including Michael Jordan.
Fans are awesome. It's great energy in the stadium. We just didn't do enough to keep it going.
It marked Belichick's first game back on the sideline since being fired by the Patriots after the 2023 season. NFL, the Rams expect quarterback Matthew Stafford to start Sunday's season opener against the Texans after preseason back issues. In tennis, Naomi Osaka eliminated Coco Gauff 6-3, 6-2 to reach the U.S. Open quarterfinals, her first at a Grand Slam event in 4.5 years.
I just wanted to be grateful, and yeah, I mean, she's one of the best players in the world.
Iga Swiatek and Jannik Sinner advanced with straight set victories. Venus Williams and Leila Fernandez are also moving on to the women's doubles quarterfinals. And MLB, Padres reliever Jason Adam ruptured a tendon in his left quadriceps and was carted off the field during Monday's game against the Orioles. Florida State says freshman linebacker Ethan Pritchard is in critical but stable condition after being shot while visiting family. The Sanford native was in intensive care at a Tallahassee area hospital. The Gadsden County Sheriff's Office says he was shot Sunday while inside a vehicle outside apartments in a Tallahassee suburb. Elsewhere, Army football safety Larry Pickett Jr. and his father pulled a man from a crashed car just before it burst into flames near the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, earning praise from the institution for heroic and selfless actions.
It ain't over till it's over.
Aaron Judge has tied Yankees icon Yogi Berra for fifth place on the team's all-time home runs list.
Get a chance to tie one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Yankee in homers is pretty special.
Judge hit a first-inning solo blast for his 358th career homer to match the late Hall of Famer in Sunday's game against the White Sox.
He was a fantastic baseball player. You know, 10 World Series. That's pretty impressive. That's what we're all chasing.
Berra was a three-time MVP and 18-time All-Star.
I was very lucky. I played in 17 World Series and been in 14 of them. And we had all good players.
His iconic Yogi-isms became the talk of the sports world and even inspired former presidents from George W. Bush.
Yogi's been an inspiration to me.
To Barack Obama.
He had, as one biographer put it, the winningest career in the history of American sports. Nobody's won more than this guy.
I'm Geffen Coolbaugh.
The bat tossed in the air by a New Jersey Little Leaguer to celebrate a home run that earned him a suspension was sold for nearly $10,000 at Golden Auctions. All proceeds from 12-year-old Marco Rocco's signed bat will be donated to the program he plays for, Haddonfield Little League. The auction drew 68 bids. Marco's bat flip on July 16th in the final of the Little League sectional tournament resulted in an ejection, a one-game suspension, and a legal fight. But his father took Little League to court and won an emergency temporary restraining order that allowed Marco to play.
Three Scottish brothers set a world record Saturday for completing the fastest unsupported row across the full Pacific Ocean. Jamie Ewan and Lachlan McLean completed the journey in 139 days, arriving in Australia. They rowed over 9,000 miles nonstop from Peru, becoming the first team to achieve the full crossing from South America to Australia. The trio from Edinburgh endured seasickness, injuries, and violent storms, including one that swept Lachlan overboard, while raising over $940,000 toward a goal of over $1 million for clean water projects. The three rowed into the Marlin Marina, playing the bagpipes and waving the Scottish, Australian, and UK flags. I'm Julie Walker.
Israel has begun mobilizing tens of thousands of reservists as part of its plan to widen its offensive in Gaza City, which has sparked opposition domestically and condemnation abroad. The beginning of September call-up comes as ground and air forces press forward and pursue more targets in northern and central Gaza, including Zeytun. Once the city's largest neighborhood with markets, schools and clinics, Zeytun has been transformed, streets emptied and buildings reduced to rubble as it becomes what Israel's military last week called a dangerous combat zone. The reservist call-up will be gradual and will include 60,000, Israel's military said last month. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Palestinian health officials say at least 31 people have been killed as the Israeli military presses ahead with a major offensive in Gaza City. Meanwhile, genocide scholars have accused Israel of genocide. Airstrikes and artillery shelling have echoed through Gaza City since Israel declared the territory's largest city a combat zone last week. Gaza City residents now face the twin threats of combat and hunger. In London, UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy says he is outraged by Israel not allowing enough aid to enter Gaza as famine spreads.
This is not a natural disaster. It's a man-made famine.
Lammy announced $20 million more for medical assistance for Gaza and the region. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A flotilla headed for Gaza is leaving Barcelona for a second time after a storm delay. The flotilla carrying activists and humanitarian aid for Gaza was forced to return a day earlier because of bad weather conditions. The Global Summit flotilla had first departed on Sunday under a lot of fanfare, only to return a few hours later after a storm hit parts of Spain overnight. Organizers previously said there were around 20 vessels with participants from 44 countries, but it wasn't immediately clear how many boats have left Barcelona. Dozens more boats are expected to join the flotilla from across the Mediterranean later this week. It'd be the largest attempt yet to break the Israeli blockade of the Gaza Strip by sea. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Sydney authorities were called on Monday morning to the consulate in the eastern suburb of Woollahra, where an unauthorised SUV vehicle was apparently parked in the driveway. Police say they attempted to speak to the driver, but he drove the vehicle into the gates. Two police officers were slightly injured and were treated by paramedics. The SUV came to rest on the lawn near a flagpole on the consulate's grounds. The vehicle was towed away 2 hours later. A 39-year-old man arrested at the scene will appear in court on Tuesday on charges including damaging a property, possession of a knife, and possession of a restricted substance. No details have been released about his potential motive. A European Commission spokeswoman, Ariana Podesta, says we can confirm that there was GPS jamming and we have received information from the Bulgarian authorities that they suspect that this was due to blatant interference by Russia. The plane landed safely in Plovdiv Airport and von der Leyen will continue her planned tour of the EU's nations bordering Russia and Belarus. The EC president, a fierce critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin and Moscow's war in Ukraine, is on a four-day tour of the EU nations bordering Russia and its ally Belarus. The Houthi rebels say they launched a missile at an oil tanker off the coast of Saudi Arabia in the Red Sea, potentially renewing their attacks targeting shipping through the crucial global waterway. The ship's owners, Singapore-based Eastern Pacific Shipping, could not be immediately reached. However, the maritime security firm Ambrey described the ship as fitting the Houthi's target profile, as the vessel is publicly Israeli-owned. The British military's United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations Centre, which monitors Middle East shipping, earlier reported a ship heard a splash and a bang off its side near Yanbu, Saudi Arabia. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Russian President Vladimir Putin have met in China in a show of deepening ties when New Delhi's relations with Washington are strained over the purchase of Russian oil. In remarks, Modi termed the partnership with Moscow as special and privileged, while Putin addressed Modi as a dear friend and hailed Russia's ties with India as special, friendly and trusting. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization gathering focuses on regional stability, bilateral trade and energy cooperation. Putin plans to travel to India in December for the 23rd India-Russia annual summit, according to his foreign affairs advisor, Yuri Ushakov. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Israel killed a longtime spokesperson for Hamas, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He spoke at a security cabinet meeting discussing the expanding offensive in some of Gaza's most populated areas. There were no plans to discuss ceasefire negotiations, according to an official who spoke on condition of anonymity. Netanyahu also said the remains of two Israeli hostages, Idan Shtivi and Ilan Weiss, were recently recovered. The Israeli military believes 20 hostages are still alive. Meanwhile, in Gaza, at least 43 Palestinians were killed since Saturday, according to local hospitals. Witnesses said Israeli troops opened fire on crowds trying to get food. Across the Rafah border in Egypt, Democratic Senators Chris Van Hollen and Jeff Merkley called for peace and for more aid to get in. Van Hollen.
We need to get food into starving people in Gaza. And not enough food is getting into Gaza. On the trip that we've had, we've seen all the restrictions all of the obstacles that the Netanyahu government has put in the way.
Meanwhile, in Spain, a flotilla with humanitarian aid departed Barcelona for Gaza, seeking to break the Israeli blockade. Similar attempts in the past have failed. I'm Julie Walker.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.